Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. After 16 years of providing literary programming, Kingston Writers Fest has announced that they will be ceasing operations. The news was shared in a release from the board of directors last week, citing ongoing financial challenges as the reason for the festival folding. The board states that declining attendance, increased operational costs, and reduced revenue since the pandemic have created deficits that cannot be overcome, with reserves being depleted years ago to sustain the festival. While costs were cut in 2024 with a scaled-down event and more intimate setting at the screening room, the changes were not enough to save the festival. Ara McCulley, who has worked for the festival for the past 11 years and has been artistic director since 2020, was told at the end of November that the festival's run would be coming to an end and that staff and contractors would be laid off. McCulley sat down with CFRC to discuss some of the reasons behind the decision to end the festival. To start us off, I was wondering if you could just get into some of the background here and some of the factors that led to this decision that we all learned last week.
I mean, it's been certainly a challenging environment for arts organizations in general since COVID first hit. You know, there's been a lot of articles, a lot of conversation, there's been other festivals that have folded as well. And I mean, it's a combination of different issues that have sort of brought us here. Part of it is the age of the core demographic for lots of arts organizations, which tends to be a little older. And those are the individuals that are more susceptible to illness from things like COVID and the flu. And as a festival that takes place at the end of September, which is sort of the start of that season, I think it's led to hesitancy from people to go out that would have gone out before, because they don't want to get sick. I think too, people just got used to not going to events during COVID. And I think the kinds of things that people want to go to now that it's back are perhaps lighter, like things like movie and music that is kind of easier to consume and doesn't take, you know, sometimes the emotional and mental bandwidth that, you know, reading a book for 20 hours might take. And, you know, we've seen cuts at all levels. A lot of government organizations sort of helped organizations during COVID, but as soon as that help stopped, most of them went to less than what they were giving organizations in 2019. So it's sort of, you know, we're still trying to regain audiences. Our audience was about 30% below what it was pre-COVID. And so when you combine that with having your funding cut by 5 to 10%, at all levels, and then losing some corporate sponsors and seeing that drop in ticket sales, it's just, it's a lot of issues to try and navigate at the same time as you're trying to put on a festival. And I think part of it too is just trying to figure out what people want. You know, we have one festival per year, and so experimenting can happen a little bit in the off season, but we don't know from year to year what the outcome is going to be. So, you know, our first year in person back, we were like, okay, well, we'll just plan as if we'll see a little bit less in attendance, but we'll just do the festival as we always have. And it took a couple of cycles to realize like that formula wasn't going to work anymore. So, you know, we did make some major changes here in 2024. But, you know, it takes a lot of time. And there is obviously a risk in keeping going when it could lead to you going further into debt. And that wasn't something that the board was comfortable doing for continuing on into 2025.
While the festival has been stretching to make ends meet for a number of years, McCulley spoke to the abruptness and finality of this announcement. While the statement from the board of directors stated the financial challenges make running the festival, quote, impossible, McCulley also expressed disappointment that more efforts were not made to save the festival. When you got the news at the end of November, I was wondering, was this kind of a big surprise for you, or were you kind of anticipating it with the struggles that you've been facing in the last few years?
The abruptness of it came as a bit of a surprise. I mean, I don't think it was a surprise to any of, like, there's one other staff member, but we have some contractors as well. I think, you know, we try to be really transparent with everyone we work with. So we all kind of knew the situation that we were in. I think the finality of it was a surprise. You know, Kingston has been incredibly supportive to the festival for the 16 years that it's been running. And to not give supporters one last chance to, you know, like if we had run a GoFundMe or something like that, one last chance to kind of just get us over this hurdle and into 2025 was disappointing for us. My colleague Jennifer and I had been doing a lot of work in developing a business plan to make the festival more sustainable, but you know, again, these things take time. And so yeah, I mean, it was sudden, but I mean, we all were realistic about the issues that the festival was facing.
In a social media post, Macaulay shared that the wind down of the festival has not been smooth, with the abrupt ending, her and other staff not receiving severance pay, and missing paychecks for staff and contractors. Here's what Macaulay had to say on these issues. The wind down has not been a smooth process from what I've gathered, including you not receiving your severance that you're owed and a lack of communication with staff members. I was wondering if you could speak to that a bit.
Yeah, I mean, not only severance, I mean, we were not given any notice when we were let go. So staff was not paid for the month of November. So we're owed that salary. Also, my colleague hadn't cashed her October check, so she's actually owed 2 months of salary. And then as someone who's been working with the festival for 11 years, I should have received severance pay. And that has not materialized either. And so it made for a really difficult December, certainly trying to navigate that with no income coming in. So, you know, and we're not the only ones that weren't getting paid. And that was one of the reasons that I made a post on my own Facebook about it, was just as the face of the organization, as the person that people know, I'm the person that's getting asked. And if I'm being quiet about bills that aren't getting paid, the assumption is that I'm ignoring people or that I'm willfully withholding money. And I just wanted to let people know that, like, staff and contractors are in the exact same boat as everybody else in this situation, unfortunately.
Macaulay has contacted the province regarding the lack of severance pay. The Writers Fest Board of Directors did not respond to requests for comment from CFRC. Macaulay had the following parting words for Writers Fest attendees and message for Kingstonians in the literary community. I was wondering, just reflecting on the past 11 years that you've been with the festival, if you had any parting words for those who've enjoyed the festival over many years and what perhaps the Kingston literary community can look forward to still.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that was the saddest for me was with the suddenness of the decision and the request that we not be public about the fact that we're closing, is that I didn't get an opportunity to say anything to the public. You know, it's I've been going to the festival since 2010, so I've been there, you know, attending for 15 years, working there for 11. Obviously, it's an organization that's really near and dear to my heart. I've made some incredible connections within the community, with other arts partners, with local authors, with artists, and just the amazing audiences that have come year after year. And so, you know, I really just wanted to say what a pleasure and a privilege it's been to be part of this journey. You know, Kingston is very special. It's got a really vibrant arts community. Authors loved coming to this festival because of the audiences that came out and their thoughtful questions and their engagement. That's something I think that's really special and that we should be really proud of. And, you know, speaking to some of my colleagues, some of the contractors and staff that have worked with the festival, nobody wants this to be goodbye. So I think there are hopes that, you know, we can do at least one-off author events here in Kingston. This is leaving a huge vacuum for a really important Like, there is no other literary festival that happens here. And so for authors, that's a huge vacuum that, you know, as amazing as something like Novel Idea is, they can only program so many book launches in a year, right? And so to be able to offer a platform in some way, I think is something that we really hope to do, and to continue to celebrate the amazing authors that are here in the community and in Canada as well.
That wraps up your headlines for this evening. Next up is Jesse Bell with your CFRC weather and traffic report.
This is Jesse Bell with the Environment Canada Weather Report for the Kingston region. We begin with Monday, January 6th. We had a daytime high of -8, but it felt much colder and a mix of sun and cloud, and that is dropping down to -13 overnight. Tuesday, January 7th, a daytime high of -7 with a 40% chance of flurries, dropping down to a bone-chilling -16 overnight. Wednesday, January 8th, going to see a daytime high of -9 with a 30% chance of flurries, dropping a full 10 degrees to closer to -19 overnight. Thursday, January 9th, we are going to see a daytime high of -8 with a 30% chance of flurries, dropping down to -12 overnight. Friday, January 10th, high of -4, it'll be cloudy. We'll see a drop of about 7 degrees to -11 overnight. Saturday, January 11th, daytime high of -5 with a 40% chance of snow, dropping down to -9 overnight. And Sunday, January 12th, we're going to see a daytime high of -3 and it will be cloudy. Monday, January 13th, we'll see a high of -5, dropping down to -10 overnight. And Tuesday, January 14th, a high of -8 with an overnight low of -11. This is Jesse Bell with the City of Kingston Traffic Report for the week of Monday, January 6th, 2025. Aberdeen Street, Johnson to Earl. Expect delays and closures along Aberdeen Street for a contractor to complete road and sewer reconstruction. Collins Bay Road, Prince Charles / Edwin to Princess. Expect delays while a contractor completes Phase 2 of the Princess and Collins Bay Active Transportation Improvements. Front Road, Sand Bay to Country Club. Expect delays for the installation of sanitary and water main for Utilities Kingston. Traffic will be reduced to one lane in each direction. Please be aware of lane shifts, traffic speed limits, and share the lane signage. Gardner's Road at Centennial and Creekford. Expect delays while a contractor completes intersection widening, traffic signal upgrades, cycling, and pedestrian improvements. For project details, please visit Get Involved Kingston. Motorists are advised to seek alternative routes. Highway 2, Abbeydon to St. Lawrence. Expect delays to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue. Sir John A. Macdonald Boulevard at Elmwood. Expect delays while a contractor upgrades the intersection at Sir John A. Macdonald Boulevard and Elmwood Street, including replacement of street lighting, new traffic lights, replacement of asphalt on roadways, and a new multi-use pathway south of the intersection towards Bath Road.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.